right, guys, welcome back to the newest episode of Karma is a Pod. It feels like it's been a little bit of a while since we've seen you guys, but I feel like there's just so much to catch up on. So I'm really excited. We have a lot of things to talk about today, and I'm really looking forward to all of the discussions.
Yeah, we've got quite a hodgepodge of topics for us to discuss here.
Yes.
Seems like we haven't gone a while, but don't worry. Every time you tune in, we'll be like, Karma's a pod.
Karma's a pod.
Karma's a pod. Karma is a pod. We're very proud of that.
The name of the pod.
Yes.
Is Karma.
Yes.
Karma is a pod.
You will hear it 30 billion times an episode, probably.
So, I guess to start off, we actually want to throw it back as far as it goes to the BC era, or the BS era before Swift.
Yes.
Before Swift. Ramal, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, so I think the first, like, what we're all going to do is talk about a little bit about how we became Swifties and kind of do a little bit of a retrospective. So I was anointed as the first person to go since I'm the elder Swiftie, which feels kind of weird to say, but I guess is also true. So for me, and you guys know this, that like I think I got into Taylor around like 2013, 2014, when I listened to like Sweeter Than Fiction like probably 40 times a day or something like that. And then I got really into her around the 1989 era. And I was so excited about the 1989 tour, and that was the first show of hers that I ever got to go to. It was in Foxborough, Massachusetts, so Gillette Stadium. And it was basically the coolest experience ever. I did bring some props, which I feel like is a new thing on this podcast since we haven't really done props before, but like mementos, I guess, because I was lucky enough to get the VIP ticket. So hopefully this shows up on camera. But yeah, this was like the VIP 1989 World Tour Pass. Fun fact is that like when I was there, they had like a dance competition to get your seats upgraded to pit.
Oh no, they did?
Yeah, and I was extremely still socially awkward.
You responded very poorly to that.
I just kind of stood to the side because I was like,
that sounds like my worst nightmare. Her. It literally sounds like my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
You love to dance.
And I was actually like more introverted than I am now.
I don't want to enter a dance contest. This is not another Cinderella story.
I would enter a dance contest.
With Selena Gomez.
I would dance and enter a dance contest.
And you
I would
not
do
win.
It maybe now.
I believe you would do it, Ramal, and I believe your sheer enthusiasm might win.
Thank you. But yeah, back then I was like, nope, I'm gonna stay dead silent in the corner and just smile because I was like, I cannot do that. But yeah, it was the coolest thing. I will say, like, the food was so good, like some of the best. I was literally taking pictures of all of the food because they had like catering and stuff like that in the VIP room, so it was legit. It was really cool. And it was just the greatest time of my entire life. I was trying to figure out if this bracelet, I have multiple because of the concerts I've attended. I think this is the one from Gillette. Like, they used to be thicker.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't Capital One branded yet, I think. So I think this is actually the one that was from Gillette. But because she's had the light-up stuff.
Maybe the technology has gotten smaller as it got more advanced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You're probably right. You're probably
right. Does it still light up? Do you still have a tab in it?
Oh, I do not think I have a tab in this one, but I do now keep tabs in all of them because I've learned my lesson.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I still have literally, this is like a stained, but like it's preserved, the thing that my ticket came in, like the Patriots Gillette Stadium thing, and then also the actual ticket itself, which was stained, but like it's okay because it's preserved.
I honestly wish that they were still giving out physical tickets because obviously, you know, we all just got...
Yeah.
By Ticketmaster, so we got Ticketmaster, you know, QR codes. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I going to show my kid? Here's my QR code from the Eras Tour.
Yeah.
Like, I like to save ticket stubs. That is a little bit sad.
Yeah, it's nice to have, like, a little memento. So, yeah, there's this one. Their tickets were blue, which were really
nice.
Cool. And, yeah, I like, people have shared. I've seen on, like, Twitter or Tumblr, like, their tickets from the Fearless Tour. And I think it's a really cute memento to have. Although, tears at the prices because things used to be, like, apparently, like, $80 to go to her concerts. But these days, all concerts are expensive, so that makes sense. And then, yeah, I also saved the, I guess, VIP ticket. Whatever that was that day was, like, the orange band or whatever. So, had the greatest time of my life. Literally the greatest day of my life. The best ever. And then let me speed along a little bit so we can get into Annie and Zach's stories. Basically, remained like a huge fan throughout high school and college, which is when I met Annie. And I went to the Reputation Stadium tour, but I feel like Annie can expand a little bit on like what you were thinking about Taylor Swift at the time.
Yeah, so I became a casual fan in 1989 era. My mom had bought the Target Deluxe Edition CD and played it in her car CD player like every time we drove anywhere. So I heard it all the time. The first album that I heard, like, right when it dropped was Rep. And we had just met freshman year of college and become friends. And I remember that Ramal, this was, like, in an era where, you know, I think some of the newer Swifties, like Zach, and no disrespect to, and again, I'm not the oldest Swiftie in the world. I've, you know, I've been a Swiftie for, you know, about 7 or 8 years now. But we're not there in Rep era where it really felt like we were sort of a boots on the ground, like, diehard group. You know, I remember Ramal, you know, showing up to freshman year, we were all trying to make friends. Ramal would ask everybody if they liked Taylor Swift, but you asked people if they liked Taylor Swift in like a, I really like Taylor Swift. And I think it's been really nice to see that, you know, she's become so popular and that it's become so widely respected and that she's become so widely respectable. And obviously she always should have been. Right. But I think in that Rep era, it felt like somehow she was everywhere, but also nowhere, if that makes sense. You know, like Ramal was saying earlier that, you know, our freshman year of college, there were all of these Amazon Prime trucks with her face, like, on the Rep cover everywhere. And, like, that was the soundtrack to my freshman year constantly, especially, I remember listening to Delicate all the time. But I think it's interesting now, having been through several album cycle releases, the way that when you listen to each album, it sort of defines that era of your life for you, even though I think that, you know, I still love listening to the songs and I have different moments throughout the years that they've been out that I connect with them. It still feels like I'm like transported back to that era when I listen to Rep, to that, you know, freshman year, fall semester. You know, I have similar feelings about Lover and Folklore for sure. You know, I think Midnights is a little bit too recent for me to have as much of like a nostalgic, like, that period of my life sort of feeling around it. But I definitely have those sorts of feelings about Rep and Lover, especially. I remember when Lover came out, because the first album that Ramal and I went through together coming out was Rep, and then Lover came out, and I remember texting Ramal, and I was like, Ramal, it's such a happy album. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Rep was my, or not Rep, Lover was my favorite on first listen album, even though it's not my favorite. I mean, I love Lover, but it's not my favorite of her albums. My favorite of her albums is, is Folklore, followed by, I think, Red or Rep. But on first listen, I just loved Lover. And I think it's because it was so joyous and buoyant. And, you know, that was such a, actually kind of a jarring surprise for me after Rep.
Yeah. I think it's also really cool that you mentioned that whole, like, nostalgic piece to it, where, like, you can start to place albums in periods of your life. Because as you were mentioning Rep, I was remembering, like, kind of being the only person freaking out about Taylor Swift being on the Amazon trucks and taking pictures of it and stuff. But also just, like, walking in my, like, orientation group when she dropped, like, the first video, because she had, like, deleted her whole Instagram. And I remember, like, stopping in the middle of the city and being like, oh my God, like, she's uploaded a photo and it looks like what? Like, a serpent, a dragon, a snake? Like, what's going on? And then, you know, just like riding my whole bike around campus, blasting Call It What You Want and being like, I'm in a music video right now.
Mine was definitely, I think, Delicate was like my song where I felt like it was like about me, you know? I feel like we all have, not really, not really, but I it resonated with me and I felt like it was like defining that period of my life.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I believe that Taylor Swift wrote the song about me. Thank you, Zach. Although I do think that she wrote The Man About Zach.
Yes, I believe that. She did. She was inspired by it. She saw Zach and she was like, I got a song.
And then she went back in time and wrote The Man. So tell us about your your journey as a newer Swiftie.
Yes.
My journey as a newer Swiftie, or my journey as an individual?
I don't care about your journey as an individual. I only care about your journey as a Swiftie.
Yeah, this is a Karma is a pod.
Okay.
Yeah. This is not the Zach's Life Story podcast.
This has to be the Swiftie identity part of you. Another
podcast. So I would say that I became a fan probably around Folklore era. Obviously, I knew who Taylor Swift was, and I knew her songs for a very long time. I never hated her music. I never even disliked her music. And I liked a handful of songs. It wasn't until you began listening to Folklore that I really started to pay attention. I have a memory with you guys of watching the Me music video when it dropped, which
was before you were really a fan.
Which was before I was a fan. I didn't really have the highest impression from that music video, but that's okay. They can't all be winners. But it wasn't until Folklore era that I was able to appreciate the music at another level and appreciate her talent at another level and her versatility, because I don't think it was until then that I really understood just how versatile and talented of an artist she is. But when I became a Swiftie, I probably would say that I became a Swiftie when Red TV came out. Because at that point, I knew quite a few more of the songs. Fearless was out at that point, and I knew, you know, the classic Fearless songs. But when Red came out, that then it became like, oh, I can listen to an entire album and enjoy it and get something out of it and have multiple songs on an album that I really resonate to and like a lot. And obviously there was the movie, the short film, the bonus tracks, all sorts of stuff, and how popular Red TV was and how much it sort of shifted Taylor back into the spotlight. And then the rest is history with the Eras Tour and the other re-recordings. So, you know,
I'm curious, you know, being a newer Swiftie, and I think that a lot of people came to the Phantom around Folklore era. I think that really opened up a lot of people's minds. And, you know, I think it allowed a lot of people to sort of take another look at her back catalog. And I was curious about, you know.
It was a masterclass in musicianship that she honestly hadn't reached. Until that point. And maybe now you can look back and say, oh, there's some amazingly brilliant musical things in Reputation or Lover or Speak Now or Red, whatever it may be. But music-wise, I don't think those albums quite
reach that level
the level of musicality that and songwriting and lyricism that Folklore has.
I'm interested to hear you say that. I mean, Folklore personally is my favorite album, but
it might not even be my favorite, but I still see it at a higher level.
That's why I'm interested to hear you say it.
I still see it at a higher level. Reputation might be more fun. Red might be more emotional, but they don't, in my opinion, they don't quite reach that high level of all-around musicianship that Folklore does.
Do you think that, you know, having become a Swiftie later on and sort of, you know, taking another look at this, at her earlier catalog, you know, that you had maybe previously not paid much attention to or even dismissed in some cases, do you think that you now see a lot of that, you know, incredible musicality and
absolutely
in her older music?
Absolutely.
As well?
There's no question about it. There's no question about it.
I mean, you're a huge 1989 guy.
I am.
I feel like you are. Oh, you were at the Eras Tour.
Well, Eras Tour is different. Those songs hit different live. And I mean, it's also different with 1989. You know why? Because and honestly, we should move on to the next segment because we. But I will say, 1989. Unlike a lot of the other Taylor Swift songs, I actually have been hearing those songs since they've came out. So when you hear it at the Eras Tour, it's like, you know, 12 years or 11 years of listening to the songs finally come out, finally come to fruition. You know, I wasn't a Taylor Swift fan in 2014 when Taylor Swift released 1989 or whatever it was. But I was hearing those songs when they came out. Same with You Belong With Me, same with Love Story. You know, those songs. And then on the other hand, obviously, the songs that I didn't hear back then that I had to become a Swiftie older that I did learn and learn to appreciate.
And you've developed a big attachment to some of those songs, like Mean is one of your favorites.
Definitely,
you know?
But
yeah, and that's Red. Interesting. And I just one last thought before we move on to the next segment, but I think that it's kind of interesting because I think that I maybe had the slowest growth as a Swiftie because I started as a very casual fan, you know, 8-9 years ago when 1989 came out. And I made a big mistake in not buying tickets to Rep Tour when Ramal went, and I absolutely should have, but I was, you know, still sort of a casual fan at that point, all the way to being, you know, a complete diehard by the time we got to Folklore. Whereas Zach went from, like, noticing her to being a diehard in, like, 2 years.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and Ramal, I think you kind of just started out as a diehard.
When
you entered the scene. So yeah. I think the two of you, you know, kind of took notice and went all in, and I was a little bit a slope upwards, you know. But
well, we could talk about this for hours.
Yes, we could.
And thank you, Ramal, for bringing that up. I think we'll manage to cover the rest of this pretty quickly, but you know, one question that we came up with for each other had to do with the Eras Tour. And obviously, you can't fit, you know, Taylor Swift is huge discography. Can't fit the entire discography into one show or one tour. And there's definitely been a lot of discussion about this online. So if you could pick one song, or maybe one set of songs that you think is missing from the Eras Tour, or you think would improve it, or you think belonged in it, but didn't make the final cut, what would it be? So I'd love to start with Ramal on this question. I think her answer will be very interesting.
Okay. I'm thinking about it. And I was also going to say that I think we have to make it just a step harder of you've got to take something out to put it in.
Better. Okay, cool.
So it's more painful, right? Because it's easy to be like, oh, I would add this. But like, I think it's uniquely painful to be like, well, I'd have to take something out. So for me, I know for a fact that I think I would want New Romantics on the set list. Like, absolutely. I just love that song deeply, deeply, deeply in my soul. And I'm not even sure that I would sacrifice something from the 1989 set for it, which might be controversial, but I think I would, what would I take out? Honestly, maybe, and it's not because, I love the song, but I would maybe take out, like, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together from, like, the Red era.
Okay. Wow.
If I could newest romantics.
You're dipping into some territory with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Taylor really likes that song. She's always pushed that song really hard.
New Romantics?
No. We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge hit. It's one of those songs that people expect to hear.
Yeah, exactly.
My answer is somewhat adjacent, and I think I might be stealing Zach's here, but now that I'm thinking about it, I think that the song that... Okay, I'm gonna say there are two songs that I think. Maybe this is a cheat, but I think there are two songs that I think.
Then you got to remove two.
I will. I will remove two that I think have to be on the set list. Or, you know, they don't have to be on the set list. The set list is amazing. But I'm going to say Red for Red.
Wow.
I think that we're really missing it. You know, the title track. And I think when I hear, you know, when they have the dancer open the box and we hear the little bit of it, I feel like... I mean, I would have loved to hear State of Grace, too, but I feel like Red itself is a defining track for that album, and I would have liked to hear that. And
that is an interesting
similarly, choice. I'm going to say I would like to hear Speak Now. I'm a big fan of the song Speak Now, and I think, you know, obviously a lot of us would like to see more of Speak Now, but I think hearing that title track as well would be big for me. The songs that I'll take out... this might be a cheat because it's no longer in the set list, but I'm going to say Tolerate It as one of them. And I'm going to say, honestly, I mean, The Archer also was cut because I was going to say The Archer as well. And I think maybe she made similar cuts to the ones I would have to bring in TTPD. You know what? I'm going to say Mastermind.
Oh my god, you take out
Mastermind. I was
thinking about cutting Mastermind too.
And I feel like I've been stabbed in the...
Are you kidding me? Okay. All right, that's controversial because I was gonna say I would put Mine on the set list and I would take out Midnight Rain.
Okay.
I wouldn't take out Midnight Rain. Okay, wow.
I wouldn't take out Mastermind.
That's an okay answer.
These are interesting answers.
Yeah. We're causing some controversy.
Red is one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs, but it wouldn't be my choice. It wouldn't be my choice.
Oh.
Okay. I love the band, and listen, I love the banjo, man. I love the banjo guitar, but there's a banjo in another song that might be even better, which is Mean.
Mm-hmm.
Mean, mm-hmm. maybe should have made the set list. It mm-hmm. is probably the most popular mm-hmm. song from Speak Now.
After Enchanted.
Or Sparks Fly.
There's
that's a good songs. One. Mean is as big as Enchanted.
Really? Okay. I mean, it's a great song. I love the song.
It's a hit. Yeah. It's a big song. Mm-hmm. It's a
video.
It was the number one song when the album came out.
There was no Enchanted video.
There was no Enchanted video. No. Again, I wasn't. As we all know, I wasn't a fan at that point, so it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. But anyway. Mean would be excellent. You'd have to get the banjo mm-hmm. out. You'd have to get all those instruments out. If there's a washboard or something, I don't know. But this is not New Orleans. Anyway, I would also
would you kick out?
Well, I would add another song. I would also add Picture to Burn.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Probably my favorite from debut. Also, maybe our song, but one of those two.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would definitely take out, honestly, there are a few songs where I am kind of like take it or leave it, especially during the what used to be the Folklore Evermore section, which is now combined.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would be fine with Tolerated out. I think I'd be fine. Is Tis the Damn Season out now?
Yes.
That's out.
But Zach,
that's out.
I'm gonna pressure you for a second. I'm going to say take the most recent iteration of the set list with all of its cuts already implemented and pick one out of those.
Okay.
Like not ones that have already been taken off.
Fine. I'm not exactly completely up to date in my head.
We didn't see it. You did.
Yeah, we didn't see it. True.
I have an idea of what it is in my head, but yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. What about Illicit Affairs? Is that still on it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would take that out.
I do not agree.
I would take...
No. Yeah, that's a crime. Are you kidding me? Like when she gets on the floor.
What about...
Don't call me kid. Don't call me... Like the obvious transition.
All right. I'll take your answer.
All right. We learn to accept. Yeah, that's sorry. Fine. We're supposed to be compassionate in this pod.
That's what I would say I would remove. And I would also say Mastermind. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I accept your responses, even though it feels like a dagger to the heart.
Fine.
A little bit. That's okay.
So moving quickly...
I'm like Zach mad at me today.
Moving quickly on, just for the end of this episode, some miscellaneous happenings in Swift World that we want to talk about. Obviously, rumors are running rampant, slithering around about Reputation TV and when and if Taylor's going to reveal it. I've seen some pretty unhinged theories out here, and I think, you know, we're going to end up doing a full episode breaking down some of these theories. And hopefully we beat her to the actual reveal. My personal theory is that she's going to reveal Rep in the second round of London shows. And that she's going to reveal debut on the final day of the tour. That is my personal opinion. But, you know, I'm seeing some unhinged things. Like, for example, you know, obviously we were seeing some glitches with the screen. You know, throughout the Europe tour, Ramal saw that happen in Liverpool. I think they're just screen glitches. I don't think they have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
originally I thought it could be, but then I was like, no, it was just like actual glitches.
Yeah. I mean, we got the tweet from Taylor Nation, you know, quoting the song glitch, but sometimes they're just trying to make a little joke, you know, I could eat my words, you know, we could be stitching this together with some sort of reveal, but
also apparently people are noticing issues with her piano and are claiming that the issues with her piano represent some kind of album release.
That they're making snake noises.
That they're making snake noises or something.
Yeah,
like
I heard
it's,
that. I could not hear the sound, though.
Yeah,
I
think that these people
are
stretching
really listening.
This piano's been rained on a lot of times.
Yeah, this...
You know, we've seen issues
But apparently it is an electric piano. Apparently
working,
it is an electric piano synthesizer.
Yeah, I didn't realize that
in a piano shell.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because it's the acoustic section. But... I did see one theory that the new Fearless dress with the black combined with the gold was possibly a reference. Mm-hmm. But see, if she had brought that out on the day that she was announcing Rep, you know, like when she did 1989 and all the outfits were blue and you knew immediately. And, you know, that was a really fun time to play Swift Ball when you'd be like, blue and gold lover, you know. I think because she did it weeks in advance to when she's actually announced, I don't think that it, is a reference, right. But we might be seeing it the day she announces.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah,
we'll see.
You know that meme, like from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where the person is like crazy guy pointing at like all the pictures and
of
like
course.
Red lines.
Charlie Day, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like being a Swiftie makes me feel like that eternally, because literally the other day in the car, this means nothing now. Like I know it doesn't mean anything, but the Jolly Rancher 1989 outfits, like when she finally started doing the full color of like blue, green, whatever, I was like, oh my God, guys, she's going in order, like speak now, then red tomorrow. And I was like very certain of that.
And the
and
thing
I was,
is like
this
girl has
people,
done things like that, like exactly like
yeah.
that so many times yeah. that it would be believable right. if it lined up.
Yeah.
You know.
But it makes you feel crazy because it's like everything literally seems like an Easter egg, but you're like, is it or am I like losing my mind? But then sometimes it is, and it's like, okay, then I've got to like stay on track. Like,
Since the beginning of the pod, I've had a dream of doing an Easter egg Easter special. So I think, you know, come next season, tune in for that one.
Yep.
You know, we go through the best
Easter
eggs.
That's a great
idea. One last thing, and obviously, you know, by the time this episode releases, hopefully we will know, but tonight when we're filming this, Taylor Nation was reposting a lot of cardigans, and Taylor Nation, and if any listeners have tuned into multiple episodes or seen, you know, any of our reels, they know that Ramal and I did not buy the original Folklore cardigan and have been bemoaning this for many, many years now. If they drop it and we get one, I am going to be maybe the happiest I've been in my Swiftie life since the Eras Tour, and honestly, that, you know, that's a day that I never thought would come, and, you know, maybe I'll be on with a speech to thank the Academy.
Well,
if that comes true,
I will never be the same. I will be screaming this from the rooftops. Like, life will not be the same if like we got a cardigan, like a Folklore cardigan.
Fingers crossed, girls. Fingers crossed. Yeah.
I wish you
good
luck.
What do we call these segments? Like red alerts or something when it's like Swiftie news?
Oh, I know.
Red alert.
Honestly, dropping the cardigan is almost red alert quality.
It's red alert quality.
I just don't know if...
It's essentially red alert.
I was
going
to say, I don't know if we could come up with 30 minutes of talk about the cardigan. Of course we could come up with 30 minutes of talk about the cardigan. We've already talked about the cardigan probably 30 minutes combined over the episodes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I could rant about the cardigan for days on end. Like, there's years of history to this, guys.
Either you'll see us appearing in, you know, two episodes' time wearing identical matching cardigans, or you will see us not wearing the cardigans and being very sad. So.
One could say it's going to be the Great War, whatever it is.
It'll be the Great War tomorrow night.
I will not be buying a cardigan, but I wish you guys good luck
in
your adventures.
You will be trying to buy a cardigan
purchasing.
For me.
Oh, I will, apparently.
Stay tuned. And thanks
so
for
very
listening.
I'm very lucky to have to spend that kind of money.
Thanks for listening. Hey, I'll Venmo. But you're going to be on the site, too. It's like buying the tickets. Hey, I fought in that ticker.
It's gotta be
I fought
effort.
In that Ticketmaster queue for like 8 hours. It's the least you can do for me.
It is. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you, guys. And see you guys next time. Bye.